Well, this seemed an appropriate scripture for our day and time. I don't know if any of you watch television, but if you have watched the news, you have certainly heard some of these same words. Disaster, panic, financial meltdown. We look at the stock market and we see it plummeting. We hear the people who are supposed to be in charge and they sound scared. We look at the world around us and we see changes. Gasoline going to $4 a gallon. Other things that we have never seen before. It's a scary world we live in, isn't it? It's terrifying when we think that our investments that we had hoped to retire on, or that we are retiring or retired on, suddenly shrink dramatically. It's scary when we think that things are not going to be the same, that we are not going to be able to maintain the level of income that we expected. We're not going to be able to maintain the level of living that we had hoped for. We're not going to be able to survive. We don't know what to do. It's a disaster. I have a slideshow for you that illustrates some disasters that we have seen. Sometimes even when you try and cross the still waters, things don't work out for you too well. We were up in Georgia on Labor Day weekend. And while we were up there, we ran into an area where there was an old United Methodist Church. That used to be a farm. It's now a gorge. That used to be a truck. Yeah. That used to be a pastor's parsonage. A tree went through it and came into the bedroom while the pastor's wife was on the bed. That was what we found when we got there. Holes in the roof, trees sticking out of the holes, trees down in the yard, the pastor and his wife trying to clean up and get out so they could go stay with family, and what to do now. We experience all kinds of disasters. We experience all kinds of troubles. That truck had been a few hours earlier up to its windows in water. We never know when trying to deal with the life that we have to lead, when the water's going to get deep or when the times are going to get tough. Or when the land is even going to fall out from under us. God knows. So what did Moses do in times of trouble? Well, over and over again, if you read this book of Exodus, he talked to God. In scriptures that we've studied in prior weeks, we hear of him talking to God when the people complained that they were thirsty, and God provided water. Talking to God when the people complained that they were hungry, and God provided food, manna from heaven. Talking to God when the people made an idol, a golden calf, and worshipped it. Anybody seen the bull that stands on the sidewalk in front of the office building? We talk about bull markets and bear markets. Sounds like we're worshiping idols even today. Do we worship gold? What's the news about these days? The finance market. The terrible things that are going on in the stock market. The worries that people have. And I'm not going to tell you it's not going to hurt. The book does not tell you it's not going to hurt. There are going to be tough times. The Israelites suffered in the desert. God gave them their freedom because they complained that they were being made slaves of. He gave them their freedom, and then they were free, and then they complained that they had nothing to drink. God gave them water, and they complained that they had nothing to eat. God talked to Moses too long, and they complained that they didn't know what had happened to him, and they made an idol to worship. We don't ever complain about anything, do we? No. Well, maybe sometimes. So what do we do? What do we do when things don't work out right? What do we do when the things that we expect to be able to, you know, carry us across the waters don't make it? Oh, by the way, the truck that's facing the tractor, I don't know if you can see it in this picture, but the left front tire was floating across the water right behind it. Things come apart sometimes. Things don't work like we expect them to sometimes. Sometimes people come to our aid and sometimes they don't. But being Christians, we have a promise. God has promised that He would be there for us if we would just believe in Him. God has promised us that He would send His Son, and He did, that we might have life and have it eternally. What have we to complain about if we have eternal life? What have we to complain about if we have the riches of the soul and the promise of God with us even unto eternity? It isn't always easy. It doesn't always go the way we think it should. It won't always go the way we think it should. What did the people of Israel say? Moses has left us. We don't know what to do. Make us an idol that we can worship. What did we say? I don't know what to do. I need money. I need investments. I need security. I need insurance. I need a job. And how many of us, when that happens, say, well, what I really need to do is talk to God? Moses talked to God. Moses spoke with God. Moses asked God, what do I do now, God? Ever said that? What do I do now? Anybody here who can't raise their hand? What do we do now? We don't know. We can't know. But He knows. What we do now is we believe that God is with us. We believe that God will figure it out. We believe that no matter how bad it gets, no matter what happens, no matter whether the stock market falls another 4,000 points, no matter what, God is with us. Well, that doesn't help the retirement account, does it? No, it doesn't. But it does help us. I spend my days during the week working in a treatment facility with folks who are there as an alternative to go into prison. They have addiction problems, and so they struggle. You think we struggle? They struggle. Just to be able to control their own minds and bodies. And when times are tough, we ask them to do something that sounds awfully familiar. It's called pray. And it's a simple prayer. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I think that Moses must have said something similar. Okay, God, what do I do now? And then help me to do what you tell me to do, and then show me your way. Show me what I must do. And when God said He was going to destroy the people, Moses said, oh, please don't do that. Moses didn't plead with God not to hurt people. because they didn't deserve it, because he knew maybe they did deserve it. He didn't plead with God not to destroy the people for the people's sake. He pleaded with God not to destroy the people for God's sake. Because if God destroyed his people who he had promised to lead, who he had promised to save, then people would say of God, why did you destroy those people? Why did you hurt those people? How could you let that happen? You ever hear anybody say that? How could God let this happen? Well, God didn't let this happen. The people chose to make the altar. The people chose to give up on Moses, who had been sent to lead them. The people chose to do what they did. And God was about to give them what they deserved. And Moses said, please don't do that. A couple of thousand years later, God sent his son so that we might have someone to speak on our behalf. Indeed, Jesus speaks not only on our behalf, but on the behalf of all the people who have believed in God throughout all the ages, and says, no, God, they don't deserve your mercy. They deserve your justice. But please don't do that. Not because they don't deserve it, but because you are God, and you are full of love and mercy. Do that for me, your son. And so he gives us a gift. Not something we deserve, not something we've earned, not something that we've earned interest on or socked away or any of those worldly things, but something that he has given us in joy, in forgiveness, in love. Because he loves us, not because we deserve it. Because he loves us, not because we were good. Because he loves us, not because we are his people, but just because he is our God. He is our God. And we come together on Sunday morning to be reminded that he loves us, to be reminded that he cares for us, to be reminded that he cares when we speak to him, and that indeed prayer changes things. Some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, Moses leading the people out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Even then, prayer changes things. They were facing a disaster, and Moses spoke to God, and God chose to pass them by, even though they deserved the disaster he had intended. I can't tell you it won't be tough. I can't tell you gas won't go up again. I can't tell you that there won't be more hard times to come. I can't tell you that there won't be more wars. There will be. I can't tell you there won't be more conflicts. There will be. I can't tell you there won't be more terrorism. There might be. That's the world we live in today. But that's the world. What I can tell you is God loves us. Even from the days of Moses, he listens to us. He cares about us. He hears us. And if we pray to him, things change. If nothing else, things in here change. When I see those young men and women, well, some of them aren't all that young either, when I see those men and women at work say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, I see them change. I see them coming to understand that there are some things they cannot change. We can't change other people. We can't change the way the world is. We can't change what happens to us. There's all kinds of stuff that we can't change. But there are some things that we can change, and most of them are right in here. Ourselves. What can I do to be a better person? What can I do to be a better Christian? What can I do to reach out to help those people who are even worse off than I am? And the wisdom to know the difference. And where do we find that wisdom? Well, golly, somebody gave us a book. That's a good thing, huh? So, I encourage you on this homecoming to be reminded, we are children of God. He has sent us His Son. He has sent us His words. And He hears us, listens to us, and loves us. Man, what a joyful occasion this is to be reminded once again. God loves you. Amen.